Welcome to the very last episode of Umkhwazi Unfiltered for 2025. We've had some incredible moments on the podcast. We've chatted with all sorts of individuals, incredible in their own rights, across a spectrum of industries and genres and activities. And each and every one of them has brought a unique flavor to Umkhwazi Unfiltered. Today, we're going to do something a bit different in that we don't really have a guest because it's two hosts sitting facing off and having a conversation. How are you doing, Jenna?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
This is going to be fun.
This is weird, though. I'm on the wrong side of the room, for starters.
I know. Don't get nervous. It's just me.
I feel weird. I feel like it's an interview.
Though. Yeah,
like a job interview. Like, okay, where do I put my hands? But we'll make it work.
Yeah.
How are things going, eh?
All right.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we're going to look at for a start in this difference is because everyone talks to me about how Kamiza knows everybody. So I want to know a little bit about you.
Hmm.
I think everybody else out there wants to know a little bit about you, quite a lot about you. So maybe just start by telling me more about who is Kamiza outside of the podcast.
Outside of the podcast, I have a full-time job at Fera Communications. It's a company I founded 10 odd years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what took me out of a corporate space and became my everyday source of livelihood. So bespoke communication services.
Yeah.
Probably 80, 70% of what I do with Fera Communications is voiceover work.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you have your own studio?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So it got to that.
Yeah.
It got a bit crazy, and I think it gives you an edge when you're able to go off and record literally at the drop of a hat.
Mm.
You have very, very tight deadlines sometimes. A client only approves your voice 30 minutes before they want stuff to be produced because it has to break that day. And we give you a call and your agent's frantic, like, where are you? I've just got home. Like, okay, can you record? Yes, I can. And make it happen and quickly dash into the office, record that and shoot it off to the client. Aside from that, lots of events.
Gigs.
I do lots of emceeing.
Yeah.
And behind the scenes, the quiet side of things is lots of public relations and marketing and communications strategy and planning. And that's the invisible side of the business.
But how did you get into that?
It's always been my passion.
Even
in the corporate circles, I was always in the communication space, marketing, sales, and all things front-facing and image creating and building. So it was a natural transition.
Nice.
I said, okay, instead of doing it for corporates, I'm going to do it for myself.
No, nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I do remember you in the corporates.
Yeah.
In the corporate space.
Yes. I remember the corporate types. Yeah, I remember you in the power suits. And.
No, we wear sneakers out.
Enough about me. Tell us about you, Jenna.
I will. But before I get to that, because is that how everyone knows Kamiza? Because there's everyone knows Kamiza. And they, when you even happened today, when you, everyone genuinely knows you, or they, it looks like they know you.
Yeah, okay, so here's my guiding philosophy and principle. The world is full of friends I haven't made yet. It's not full of strangers. I think it's a gift, eh? And I have the uncanny ability to be able to connect with anybody and everybody on whatever level they're at. So if you want to talk intellectually, we'll go ahead and have that chat. If you want to chat about footy, I'm your guy. If you want to talk about the price of vitumbua, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll somehow always find common ground with people. And I'm grateful for that.
It is a gift because actually there's some people who really are unable to connect with people.
Exactly. No, they struggle. They
yeah.
struggle terribly. They're socially awkward.
Mm.
You can drop me in the middle of nowhere where I know absolutely nobody and you'll come back and I'll have friends for days.
Do you remember everyone?
Yes, I do. I do. I may not remember names.
Right.
As the years have gone on, names seem to escape me, but I never forget a face.
That's awesome.
If I've met you, you're in the database. I'll be candid. So I can't remember where we met. Oh yes. And once a person mentions that, I'll remember moments in our meeting.
That's awesome.
With great detail, though.
Yeah.
But it's weird, but
oh, it's good for you. No, it is a talent. It's a gift. Nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chana, who are you?
So, Chana Musakanya.
Mm-hmm.
Came from a creative background, actually.
Yeah.
You know, so by profession, I'm a graphic designer.
Ah.
Yes.
Oh, you learn something new every day.
I'm a graphic designer. I'm an artist.
Mm.
And then I managed to combine that with communication because a bit like you,
yeah.
I really enjoy speaking to people and it comes to me very naturally and I enjoy meeting people and I've always been like the catalyst, no matter what it is, whether good or bad, but I bring people together. So, that combination of maybe like the creative part, the communication molded really well at a really good time. When I think when I moved back to Zambia, nothing like that was happening.
Mm.
So some particular corporates, one particular corporate saw it very quickly and was like, you need to brand us. And from then on, it's just been like, I'm the catalyst, the communicator.
Yeah, you say move back to Zambia. Where were you at the time?
I was in the UK. Can't you?
I mean, you never know, eh? You never know.
I know. It's so true. You can actually buy an accent. And I keep telling people that it's not going. My parents paid enough money that it's not going away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's still with you got a lifetime license for it.
But it has faded away. It's been rubbed off quite a bit in the last few years.
It's still there.
It's still there.
It's still there. And I was messing with you. I know for a fact where you were. But hey, I mean, not everybody does.
So. I know. Yes. Yeah. So for those that don't know, I spent most of my life in the UK, but I was coming back home a lot.
Yeah.
That was the trick. I was coming back home a lot. And then I was able to easily make the decision that this is not for me. The UK is not for me.
Yeah.
Home is for me. It was a very easy decision.
So you stayed grounded and
absolutely
kept the roots intact.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were forced to come. No, I'm doing a small course. I've got a holiday. You're coming home. Yeah. There's a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that is wise because a lot of people become fish out of water and they're neither there nor here.
Yeah.
Because they've forgotten who they are in terms of home and people that they once connected with. Have moved on. And vacuums don't exist, eh? And so people fill those vacuums and those spaces you once occupied with other people and other things.
Yeah.
And then you start feeling weird.
So now when they get to our age now and you've been away for so long, it's very difficult to come back and you sit and fill those vacuums. It's very difficult. So I was very lucky that I made the decision at the right time when I did. And I've really never looked back, to be honest.
Mm.
Yeah.
In terms of your life's purpose and core vision, what does that look like? And how does the podcast fit into that?
So I'm a very, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people who've on this program and a lot of them have been, the word that keeps coming up is about being intentional.
Mm.
These are people who sit and look at their lives and they make a plan.
And so if he loves me even in that moment, even in that state, then how could I not love myself? And so it was from an overflow of that that I then began to love myself. And so all of a sudden, when other people were telling me they loved me, I was hearing it now because I loved myself. And so then even beyond loving myself became a journey of saying, I also like me.
Mm.
I like the way I think.
Mm.
I like the way I process because I understand that this is the way God made me.
So I'd probably say that I've been very fortunate that over the last maybe 25, 30 years, the plans have fallen in place for me.
Nice.
But actually, it's because I've been able to say no to certain things. So maybe even if I think it's not intentional, there are certain things I will not do.
Right.
Like I will not go into sales. I'm not going to sell that Hoover. I'm not going to sell that car. I'm not going to do that because it's going to fail and I don't like it. So I'm very clear about what I don't like to do, what I don't like to do on a daily basis, what I don't like to do for a job, what I don't like to do as family, what I don't like to talk about, the kind of, I'm very clear about that. Yeah. So in terms of a purpose, I feel I'm certainly at a point now where I've evolved, had a really full career, actually.
Yeah.
I'm in right now, my focus is my children.
Mm.
I'm somebody who had my children very late.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
I
had them late and I'm really, really enjoying them right now. So my purpose right now is to evolve with them, grow with them, learn from them.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm learning a lot from them on, you know, media and social media and digital and everything else that's happening out there. So we're enjoying a really great moment of, I'm enjoying parenthood at the moment.
Yeah.
So really, that's where I am now in terms of career. To be honest with you, because I started my career so early and had a long span, had my children really, the career, my children are now at the forefront of all that.
Yes.
What I want to do going forward, it's probably going to continue having these conversations, which I absolutely love and find really natural, and bringing out the best in people. So what I found with Nkwazi is that, interestingly, it's made me grow because I've met people, I don't know about you, people I've never met before. And I've come out of there.
Oh, Mike, I can't exactly say that, but
the guy that knows everybody.
This guy, if you name it that, this guy is going to be walking into the market, kicking tables and saying, "Eat market, you like that? The fuck are you?"
I found it's fulfilled my purpose in that. But my current purpose, and that's allowed me to open my eyes into what else is happening in Zambia, how things are, how people have grown, how things have, it's opened my horizons.
Yeah.
And I think it's opened the horizons for our viewers as well.
100%.
So the word isn't even excited. I'm honored actually to be the vehicle through Nkwazi to allow people to really understand that, look, even if this person is this person, even if it's Pompey,
yep.
You know what? He goes home and they eat in Shima with Esther.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I would say at Pompey at home, there's no Pompey at home. There's no the titles are left at the door. At home, I'm a husband. You know, she's a wife. She's a mother. I'm a father. And we put, that's P1 for us. That's priority number one. The home is the first priority. Everything else, if I was to choose between being a celebrity and my family, I would drop the celebrity instantly. That's my number one ministry. That's my number one priority.
Please.
So they have real lives, but they're giving something back to almost say to people, to the audience, to the world. You can make it, but be grounded. A lot of this has been about these individuals who are grounded, and yes, they have a name. So I think my partnership with Nkwazi really has been to allow people also to open up. I've been so shocked with some of the conversations I've had, where we've both shocked ourselves.
The guest and myself.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
And I think we've just opened up the world, opened up Zambia for so many people who who wouldn't have imagined certain things about people.
I agree 100%.
And
for me, I think the word that comes to mind when I think about Nkwazi Unfiltered is enriching. It's really enriching. And even though I know pretty much all the guests that we've had on the pod, I get to learn something new about them. There's a new dimension that it's almost like you earn the right to unlock a brand new level. And you're like, what? Yeah. I didn't know this about you.
Yeah.
And you hear something about their background and then it suddenly gives you a light bulb moment because you suddenly understand why they do certain things, why they have this disposition. And you say, oh, that explains a lot about you.
I think unlocking is a really good word because the podcasts have unlocked so much richness, so much history, and just being, you know, yeah. with a lot of our guests.
And I think a huge thank you to each of the guests, because they come here and they are unfiltered. They drop guards
yeah.
and drop portfolios
yeah.
and they just sit here and are guests mm. and they say, yeah, oh, this is me. Yeah. And they bare their souls. And yeah. that is truly, truly life-changing.
And what about you? Is that what Nkwazi has done for you as well? What has it done?
It has. Nkwazi has had me be a lot more introspective after each conversation.
Yes, I found
that. I walk away from each and every episode and I sit down and I think to myself, if I faced that challenge, how would I have dealt with it?
Mm.
Or if I ever came into this level of good fortune, would I still remain as level-headed as I am now? And it's each and every episode has been an aha moment.
Yeah.
It's been literally you sit up and like, okay,
yeah.
this is new. Like yeah. I never thought about that. And I think for me, it's made me a better person.
Yeah.
I see people and I see beyond just the individual who is Stella or a celebrity. And I say behind that title and that position, there's an actual human being who lives a very interesting and somewhat normal life. They can't do it in public because everybody wants a piece of them.
Yeah.
But they go home and they have a life. Mm. They have their own quiet space. And one question that we always ask on the pod is, what do you do to unwind? And when you hear a person say, I just go home, lie down, kick off my shoes, grab a good book, sip on a cup of tea, and you're like, wait, that could be me.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the things that I do in my life, I work, I cook, and I play golf.
So if and repeat.
And repeat. And if I'm feeling really off, I promise you, I'll knock off early from work and I go straight in the kitchen.
Given the it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. It's been a wonderful journey. And I think it's a journey, long may it continue, that continues to give because the adventure continues.
Yeah. And every day you just unpack, you're unpacking and unpacking. Mm. When I finish the podcast, I get onto the phone. I'm on the phone and I'm like exploding.
Mm.
You're like, you cannot believe this conversation.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this person
right.
and why they did it. And this is their background. And so I'm already revealing the podcast 5 minutes after leaving the studio because I can't hold it in. Because
three little letters for all the people you chat with. NDA. these need to be confidants of note.
Yeah,
I should tell one. And it's why guys embargo everything and say, guys, no. But I mean, there are people who you chat with.
No. There's two people. So they like, yeah. I have to.
Actually coming home to mom and dad, because remember, I hadn't lived in Zambia for so long.
Yeah.
So I was actually adjusting as in my late 30s, coming back to live with your parents.
What time are you back?
You know, where are you going? I mean,
and that? Yes,
exactly.
I went to one of those walks, man, and panting and huffing behind this babe I saw, yeah. I just said, yeah, Kanika Katia.
Ulterior motives. Yeah. It wasn't the fundraising. You will not believe.
Yeah.
Like, wait for it. Yeah. I mean, there's a question you need to check out in the pod. And it's incredible. And
so exciting.
It is an exciting journey.
Yeah.
An exciting journey.
It's been so fun.
I'm grateful for
Nkwazi
and Felton. Okay. Now,
next bit. Yes.
Next bit. Okay. We have a little lucky draw here.
Questions.
Yeah, questions, eh? We're going to
I'm sitting in the good seat, so I think we're going to draw questions.
Cool.
And so you can draw the first because I'm in the lucky seat or the good seat or your seat.
Fair enough.
I'll draw one now.
Okay. So who goes first?
I guess you drew first.
Okay.
So.
Okay. This is a goodie.
No glasses.
No. No, good eyesight, you see. Yeah. What is the one piece of advice from a guest that has genuinely stuck with you? Yeah, that's a good question.
I didn't see that one.
Nah, Well?
Well, maybe I can't name who it was.
Mm.
And I don't think it was just from one person. I keep getting the message about being true to yourself.
Yes.
True to yourself and being honest.
My mom's principles still reign supreme in my life even now. I look back on times she would tell me, you know, you've got to stay true to who you are, and the world is going to force you into corners and define what you must look like, what she must act like, what you must achieve, the bounds of the territories you must go. But you are defined by your heart. You are defined by your purpose, by your vision. And even if it doesn't look like the next person, it is okay to go after what you want. And those words for me resound even now, and probably will carry me through the rest of my life.
Mm. And just being honest to yourself, even when someone gives you bad news or you don't like what they've said, it's about being true, reflection. I've just picked that up, not just from one guest, but from another.
Mm-hmm.
And these characters are all very solid individuals in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
So even when they're talking emotionally or business, it's about being true to themselves, no matter what information they've been given.
Correct.
And they kind of laid that out to say, this is what I'll tell. This is the conversation I'd have with anybody else around me anyone I wanted to give advice to, whether it's girls or whether it's my family or my children.
Yep.
That's what I took away from that.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Hit Ready? Me. Okay. This is going to be a good. Which guest made you the most nervous before hitting the record button? And how did the actual conversation compare? Like, who made you really?
Interestingly enough, that would be Sampa the Great.
Ah.
And I'll tell you why. So, in spite of the fact that I know everyone, I didn't really interact with Sampa prior to the pod. I had been backstage with her at the Stanbic Music Festival. But it was intense. And she's going to go on stage and she's...
You're not going to have a conversation at that point.
No, you're not going to have a meaningful conversation. She's in the zone.
Yeah.
She's in the zone. She's focusing. She's pacing. You're hi, how are you doing? My name is... No, wrong time, wrong place. In that moment, any artist who's worth their salt will bite your head off. Because you're moving me out of the zone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready. I'm ready to give 100%. So that was the one opportunity I had to meet her. And that's the only impression of her I had.
Was this always the dream?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes. My parents will tell you from like 7 years old, me and my younger sister would perform for the family. So, we finish dinner, everyone to the sitting room. There's something about to happen.
There's a show.
And it's me and my sister Mwanji like singing and dancing. So it was always a thing and always something that we wanted to be, but never something that we were like professionally we could do.
Like, oh, she's intense. And so when she came through the door with a huge smile on her face and just like a ball of energy, a ball of very positive energy at that, and I was like, amazing. And I was like, okay, that put me at ease.
Already.
I was like, oh, this is going to be a good conversation. And it was. It was really like a chat between old friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, amazing how we find a person framed in one particular context and we assume that's their personality. And it got me thinking. It actually got me thinking, how many people think I'm this stuck up, serious chap because I'm getting ready to go on stage and handle my business. I'm focused. I'm in the zone.
Yeah.
But off stage, I'm me. And hey, how you doing? And I'm ready to chat with everybody. But it really got me thinking. But that is the one that got me very nervous.
Did it surprise you?
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Incredibly so. And I ended up feeling like I had found a long lost younger sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was that real, that authentic. Literally the girl next door.
Yeah.
And I was like, amazing how she's two different people. At home, she's, and off stage, she's just this.
But again, I think that's what Inkwazi does. It just unlocks so many perceptions as well.
True.
True. Of how people are boxed, seen.
Exactly.
portrayed. Sometimes it might just even be the character that you play out there. And a lot of the artists that we speak to are characters.
Exactly.
But I just love the fact that we're able to kind of unlock that.
Mm.
Oops. Okay. Sorry, team. I keep banging on your...
Yeah. Sound tech is going to slap us.
Shall I go?
Go.
Okay. So if you have to redo one interview and ask a different question, which would it be and what would you ask?
Ooh, that is a tricky question.
Because every time.
Yeah, every time.
You come off.
You walk away and the moment the director says, cut. Like, oh, I should have.
Yes.
I should have. But yeah, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus. But there is an individual who I think was slightly measured in their responses. And if I had an opportunity to do a do-over, I would probably throw a curveball right at the beginning of the conversation to throw them off their game and then have them have to dig deeper than they had given out. They're a very measured individual in day-to-day life and in what they do. And they brought it along. And so it was...
They just didn't unpack themselves.
No, not as fully as out of love to have them unpack themselves. Yeah, but I'll spare them the blushes and not name names.
I'm not going to start guessing here.
No, let's not. Let's not. Your question.
Uh-oh.
Ah. We always see the final polished episode. What's one fascinating story or piece of context from after the recording stopped that our viewers never get to hear or see? Secrets behind the scenes.
I'm really irritated with Shine or were we sitting okay? And the fact that you can't see it and ask during. So I go and I'm like, and they're like, no, we can't let you're fine. They will say, you know, you're fine. So actually, as a result, I don't watch the podcasts.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So once you're done with the pod, it's history.
Don't watch them.
Interesting.
I'm like, I was there, so you don't need to tell me about it.
Oh, wow.
No, I don't.
Really?
No. Because I want to ask so many things about, and then I'm told that I fidget and, you know, all those irritating things.
Everybody's got an opinion.
Exactly.
Everybody's got an opinion.
So I'm like, done, guys. Just let me know when it's out. In fact, everybody else tells me when it's out because I get my phone starts pinging. But otherwise, I presume job done.
I scrub through and I watch stuff and I go to the comments and I get to find out what people are thinking and I think that gives me a sense of what really resonated with people. Yeah, and then there's always your friendly neighborhood critic.
Yes, of course.
Who will tell you, no, stop saying that's irritating. And I'm like, but it's a conversation. I'm not going to sit quietly and mute and listen in. So it's very interesting.
No, but I pick up on the comments somehow.
Yeah.
So that of course I can build on them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, constant improvement.
Absolutely.
Incessant tinkering and fidgeting.
No, I'm mindful of that, but not to sit through
that entire episode.
My voice for like for like 45.
Because then you become your own critic.
That's the point.
Yeah.
I'm already my own critic when I'm leaving. So
exactly.
Just, you know.
Exactly. You walk away and you're like, it was okay.
Yeah.
And then watch it and like, like, did I really do that? And the aha moments. Yeah, we'll leave that
next.
One. Okay.
You can pick. It's closer to you.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Oh, was it the last one? Oh.
This should be fun. Oh, wow. Very philosophical, I must say. Yeah, let me go philosophical on you in the read. If you could host any living person, famous or not, on Nkwazi Unfiltered, who would that be? And why would that dream guest be the person you'd want to speak to? And what's the first question you'd ask them?
So it's not that philosophical because the person I'm thinking about really wasn't that philosophical, actually. and I think the first question I'd say is, why?
Why?
And I'd be asking on behalf of my mother, actually.
Mm.
She was fascinated by the royal family.
Really?
Fascinated. So we all had to be fascinated as though we didn't have our own, you know, royal families here.
Yeah.
The British royal family. Fascinated. It's a colonial thing, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah, they did sing God Save the Queen.
Yes.
King first and then Queen. And then now we're back to King. So
you might be expecting an answer like, you know, Nelson Mandela. It's not going to be that right now. So I would love to have in front of me Princess Diana. And why? On behalf of the family, why?
Just tell me why.
That would be fun. No, because, you know, I'm like a fan of like things like The Crown, and I'm fascinated by the whole production behind those things and the history. Those things happen. Fine, they're not in Africa.
True,
but there's just so much history that can be traced. And obviously at some point I caught up with it because I live 50 years of that.
Yeah.
But I just find the whole collection of that history of that the royal family, and because it was so not imposed, well, it was imposed on us as a country, and it really
it was embedded.
And then, you know, I'd sit there with my mum, and she'd be like, "Inga Chao Z." I'm like, "I don't know. So let's watch together. I don't know." You know, and like, "Ngabalimwe
kali kaudia." Exactly.
Well,
it is what it is. Yeah, no, but I understand where she's coming from, and I fully get it, because there's such a deep and rich sense of tradition and sense of occasion and decorum and order, because everything that the royal family does is done orderly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, we've done this way for centuries. We're not about to change it for anyone. And you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it is quite a spectacle when you watch a royal procession.
Yeah, all those things.
Yeah, it grabs hold of you, and you sit there and you're like, wow. Your mom, order. For me, that was my dad.
Yeah.
And he'd be on the phone and say, "Are you watching this?" Like,
Not really.
No. Tune in. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Fine. No, that era were fascinated.
Yes.
Like we said, it was embedded in their lives. They respected it so much. Mm. They knew every single piece of the history.
That's it.
And they even could relate to how it related to us here.
100%.
Yeah. So 100%. That would be my... Probably my, I've got a few others, but probably more local.
That would be a goodie.
Yeah, that would be a good
That
one.
Would be one for that the ages. One, yeah. Definitely one for the ages.
Do you have one?
Off the top of my head, you know, interestingly enough, I think I would love to have a chat with someone who's still doing what he does quite well, and that would be LeBron James.
Mm.
And it's interesting because it's not so much for his basketball acumen and his accolades there. I'd love to understand how this lad who grew up without a dad has been a model father and model husband, and what his drive and motivation has been when he didn't have a role model in front of him, and who he picked out as a role model, because obviously he had to find surrogates to be able to learn from, but he's done a stellar job. And for me, that's amazing. He's done an incredible job, and I would really love to understand how his mind works.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we might be saying this sometime next year, and our special guest today.
LeBron James. Oh, no, I would be jumping up and bouncing off the ceiling. It's been incredible. I've watched his career from the very first game he played in the NBA.
You play basketball, right?
Not anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but I'd love to.
We'll get back to that.
Yeah, but
So you watched his career, yeah?
Yes, he's the first athlete in the NBA where I had absolute access because of DSTV. So, I mean, Michael Jordan, we got to see videotapes. We got to see what the media put out and what we're able to catch. The internet wasn't as big as it is now, but... With LeBron James, I mean, saw him on draft nights, saw him play his first game, and still watch him, saw him break the scoring record in the NBA. And I've literally watched his entire career. So it's been incredible. It's been incredible.
Awesome. Awesome. So we haven't talked about the fact that we're surrounded by...
Yeah. Not so subtle Christmas decor.
It's Christmas. Because this is us coming to the end of an amazing year.
Yeah. I mean, Christmas resonates with just about everybody for different reasons. But what stands out the most, what family tradition stands out for you when you think of Christmas, especially childhood traditions?
Well, look, first of all, Father Christmas played a huge role in my life.
Yeah.
At Christmas.
Yeah.
Until I really knew who he was.
Discovered, so you're Father Christmas then.
So we used to, my father belonged to the Flying Club.
Right.
And that's where Father Christmas would come every single Christmas for all the children whose father was either a pilot or was part
Amazing.
Of the flight. So definitely that. But otherwise, as a family, it still remains a church.
Yeah.
The sound of carols, the warmth, the family coming together, a great meal over days.
Right.
But certainly the spiritual aspect is really, really key for us. It's changed now a lot because when we were growing up, we'd still do midnight mass, which was 8 o'clock. Then you'd go to church at 8 o'clock and then come back and have your Christmas dinner. That Christmas day was quiet with visitors. People would then visit on Christmas Day. Everyone would go to each other's houses, but you'd have done your traditional Christmas, as they still do in most countries.
Yes.
They have Christmas Eve dinner, and then Christmas Day is a little bit quieter, and then Boxing Day. So I still remember that we're going to church, coming back to like an amazing meal.
Right.
Then the next day is lots of visiting. So I still have, and of course, Father Christmas at some point. That guy.
Oh, that one.
You. What about you?
Yeah, for me, it's a similar scenario, but for us, church was always on Christmas Day.
Yep.
But for me, the fondest memory of Christmas would be the buzz and the vibe around the neighborhood and in the house because everyone crammed into the kitchen and everybody was helping out to cook. Or bake. And everybody, didn't matter if you were visiting, you were conscripted.
No power cuts,
No, definitely none. And you were mixing up dough and batter and someone was on the grill and everyone was doing something.
Yeah.
And it was those moments that bonded us. Because the next day, then you got to figure out, you cooked that. Not bad. And, give me a bit more of that. A second helping over there, the favorites. But it was really just the togetherness of the moment.
And family.
And then life obviously happened, went our separate ways. And
so now you have to make a...
You have to make an extra effort. Yes,
to come
together. Because people are all over the place now. And it's like, okay, guys, what are we doing? And where are we doing it? So it's evolved into something different.
Yeah.
But it still feels the same way. I'm still that little boy on Christmas Eve every single year. I feel it. I feel the buzz and I'm very nostalgic about it. And I've tried to instill it in my own family.
Yeah.
And we all do a little bit of this, that, or the other to be able to put together Christmas lunch for the following day.
But are you guys the kind of, you do the jumper thing, right? You do the jumper thing where you all wear the jumper and post it.
No.
You do. I'm sure I've seen you out there.
No. The whole pajama and jumper and onesies.
Sure?
No, I've done onesies with my son, but not the whole family arrangement. And no. And the flannel pajamas, no.
Secret Santa?
Secret Santa, yeah. In my work days, that was lots of fun.
Yeah.
But now for the fam... Things have evolved, like I said. The family sends you wish lists. So here's my wish list. And saying, there is a child who shall remain unnamed who sent a wish list with 16 items on it. And I said, you're reaching. you're really reaching, and this is you asking for me to see the cheapest thing on here. Okay, there we go.
So 16 items for you to buy, or like everyone gets the, you have to take off?
No, no, no. She sent it to mom and dad.
Oh.
Straight. Like, okay, so any one of these or more would be nice. And you're like,
No, my son's at the age now where we do money or the box.
It's like, give me the cash. I'll figure myself out.
So easy now. Money or the box.
Yeah, it's a good age to be at.
Yeah.
It's a good age to be at.
Yeah. But I know families that are getting so big when they come together. And I think it's quite clever.
Mm.
Not that I would probably do that. But because there's so many of them, they're now doing Secret Santa.
Well played.
Because there's like 40 of them.
Exactly.
So they were picking Secret Santa now.
Yeah.
A whole month.
Into November.
Right.
And then just months ahead.
Yeah.
And then the reality hits on Christmas Day. Like, oh, okay. Yeah.
So they have an event.
Yeah.
A big event.
Yes.
To choose Secret Santa.
Oh, nice.
In readiness for.
And obviously they've got a cap on that.
I think
I mean, it would suck to go off and
have
spent a fortune and then walk away with, like, okay.
No, I don't know if Secret Santa can. I want to know who you are if you give me a gift. I want to know who it's from.
No, it works. I mean, with 40 people, it works.
Yeah.
It works. That's a huge number.
Yeah.
And fast forward to present day.
Yes.
What do you get up to?
It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. Same, right? It's very much family. It's very much about the spiritual aspect and then where we're going to bond, because it's about bonding and reflecting where we're going to bond as a family. So it goes through its cycles. There's always the active individual and the non-active and the guy in the middle who just doesn't care. Like, let's just do it here.
Right.
So we're in the motion now of like, where's the bond going to happen?
Right.
So hasn't changed, still goes back 50 plus years, which we all love. And of course, our children are learning that and loving that as well. Oh, so really looking forward to just a really warm time.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Yourself?
We've got a bit of a tradition now. We run away. Yeah, so we do Christmas Day, but because of work as well, the festive period is really busy.
Yes, we've must be.
Lots
for
of events going on, lots of promotional adverts to be done.
Yes.
In batches, no less, 10 VOs at a go. So there's a lot of work leading up to Christmas. And then when the shutdown happens, especially with South Africa, where most of
yes.
Everything then shuts down. And that's a chance to catch your breath. So generally, there's this sweet spot between Christmas and New Year's Day, you know, where people who had gone out for Christmas are coming back in, and the people who are going to spend New Year's Day away have not yet traveled.
Right.
And so wherever you go, you've got space.
Yes.
And you've got no crowds.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like that calm before the storm that's coming for New Year's Day. And we always optimize use of that window.
That's great.
We travel out and just retreat. Lots of board games, lots of jokes, lots of reading, very minimal phone use.
How do you manage that?
I just put them away.
Yeah.
We put them away. Just like, okay, all right, everybody, airplane mode. Okay, fine. Yeah, and there's the little phone that only family knows the number, and you keep that on, of course.
That's so that awesome.
If someone tries to call, if there's an emergency,
of course,
they will be able to reach you. But outside of that, like, guys, put stuff away. Let's actually see the world. Lots of photography, lots of videography, and just chatting and catching up and making plans for the coming year.
I think it's I think more so now there's so much more of a need to just really make purpose of those moments and plan them like that, because it's, like you say, it's crazy out there.
It is.
And I think Christmas is the time to do that. Where else are you going to have an excuse to not drag the kids?
I dare you to try. Yeah, they're big now.
like bring the children, get the children together. Yep. Let's all be a family. It's very difficult.
Mm.
And I would say pretty much all over the world, even in countries that are not Christian, it's still a time when the world does shut down.
True.
Yeah.
True.
So we shut down. We need to shut down with it like that.
100%.
Love it.
It's a reset and a recharge. Get you ready for the next year.
Yeah. What have you asked for Christmas? How many things are on your list?
Not too many, actually.
Okay.
Not too many. I've been a very good boy. I've asked for a new microphone.
Oh,
yeah.
A new microphone?
Yeah.
Father Christmas?
Yeah, Father Christmas. Yeah. Hoping that comes through sometime during the festive period. But there's always an ask that is mandatory. And it's a new pair of sneakers. Yeah, and yeah, Mother Christmas usually smiles fondly. Yeah. And you?
Actually, I'm just seeking peace, continued peace. Mm. Nothing in particular. I'm not great on gifts.
Mm.
I'm not great at asking for gifts because I get gifted throughout the year.
Right.
And I gift myself a lot.
Well played. Well played.
But I also get gifted, and then it's normally a very special gift at this point. So I don't wait for Christmas for that particular gift.
Mm.
So I guess I'm just really asking for continued peace, continued good health, and continued good health.
Mm.
There's been so much that's happened, not just this year, the last few years.
Yeah.
And just loving each other, really.
I hear you.
Yeah.
That's a good wish.
Yeah.
Good wish.
Yeah.
And what are your wishes for the ever faithful viewers each and every time the pod drops?
Well, you know, we've been extremely blessed again with the viewers and the comments and the reviews. I think really just to ask viewers to continue giving us feedback of your best and your favorite episodes, even the ones that didn't really work for you. We want to know about those. But it's really asking you to just continue following us, continue being with us, making us better. I will watch them if I need to because of you. I will stop fiddling because of you. And it's really just to wish Nkwazi and all our viewers an amazing, peaceful Christmas and New Year. And personally, I can't wait for what we've got in play for next year. Can't wait.
100%.
And I'm going to see you next year.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Here's to an amazing 2026 full of incredible guests and wonderful conversation, uplifting, enlightening, building, encouraging, strengthening, and bolstering. Yeah, so it takes us to a brand new level. Absolutely. And Nkwazi Unfiltered isn't going anywhere. It's here for keeps. And it's here because of you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Let's not forget.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Ho, ho, ho.
Well, yours.
Yeah.
All righty.
Are you much of a singer?
Sorry?
Are you much of a singer?
No.
No?
And I'm not going to do that here.
You're not going to try, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
No.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
No.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. No?
It's one thing I didn't talk about. I just like the Christmas songs, they get me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the house is full of Christmas music. I love it.
Yeah.
No,
the playlist changes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Love it.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah, you look good.
Oh, thank you. So do you.
Thank you.
Mother Christmas.